evening, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Ute Talk Podcast, episode 31. Just want to welcome everyone in. College football starts this week. I know it started Saturday, but the real season begins Thursday. How's everyone doing tonight? All right. How are we all doing tonight?
Good.
Good. I have joining me, this is Patrick. I'm your host of Ute Talk. Waiting for Andy to jump on here. But I have with me a writer from Torn by Sports, David Elmer. How's it going, David?
Doing well. How are you guys today?
Doing well. Excited for the season to start this week. I know you've been up to a few practices. How are the Utes looking during fall camp?
I had a lot of questions at some positions, offensive line, you know, a couple other ones, and I was really excited by what I saw. I was trying not to drink the Kool-Aid, but...
Yeah. It's hard not to, right?
Yeah.
A lot of new faces up there, a lot of young talent, young guys, new coach, a couple new coaches up there. Did you see much? I know the media, I went to a couple of practices. I know they don't really show you a whole lot. You get to watch like the last 15, 20 minutes really, kind of mop up duty. Usually get to watch like the third stringers. But did you see anything that intrigued you from the new offense at all?
The first thing I saw at the practice I went to when they first let us back there was a jump ball between Jalen Johnson and Darren Carrington, and I was trying not to giggle out loud really at that point. But yeah, some of the, like, I really was thinking in my head it's going to be four receivers, five receivers every play. Some of the positions formations I saw, I was really excited about. I mean, I saw a couple with two running backs in the backfield. We haven't seen that since Urban Meyer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where Andy is, but let's continue. So what I want to do tonight, we're just going to – the Utes came out with their depth chart ahead of their first game against North Dakota on Thursday. I just want to kind of go over the depth chart, give our season predictions, and then give one player on offense and one player on defense who you think might be a breakout star this season. But looking at the depth chart that came out today, there were a couple surprises on it. Obviously, you know, you got Samson Nacua on there. One of the starting receivers. He definitely had a good fall, you know, definitely one of those, a guy who can go, who kind of like a ball hawk, you know, his older brother played at BYU, was a really good safety there. But those guys, you know, they're ballers. They go up and get the ball. They, you know, they definitely work hard he definitely worked hard during fall camp to make an impression to shoot up the depth chart like that. Did you see anything on the practices you went to? Did you see anything from him as far as catching the ball or anything?
Funny I mentioned this in one of my articles that I wrote, but dropsies have been such a problem with this team in the past, and he was one of the ones I don't think I saw drop a ball. I mean, he caught everything they threw to him, and he was aggressive going after it. He didn't wait for the ball, he went after it. It was really fun watching him, actually.
Now he's ahead of the Utes are going to have kind of a four wide receiver set. So that's going to be interesting to see four wide receivers out there pretty much all the time. He kind of jumped ahead of Damari Simpkins, which was surprising. But I think, I mean, Damari Simpkins is going to get a lot of playing time. But looking at let's go over the offensive line. just going over it. I mean, really no surprises from what was talked about in fall camp. Pretty much the five guys who everyone thought would be the starters are basically starting. Left tackle, you got Jackson Barton. Left guard, you got the returning senior, Leka Uatafe, who's pretty much their best lineman that they do have. At center, you have Lo Falamaka. Right guard, Jordan Agassiva. Right tackle, Darren Paulo. Did you see a lot from the practices you went to? What did you make of the line, or did you see much from the, you know, that starting five, or was it mainly like, you know, backup, second string, third string?
When they did have the ones in there, it seemed like it was Agassiva sometimes and Umana other times. So it was, they kind of switched those two outs on the out ones and twos. So I was kind of curious on which one they'd pick. I just assumed, kind of like they did with quarterback and cornerback, that the younger guy would get the nod if there was, you know, similarities. But yeah, Agassiva, those guys were maulers. They just, the pass protection on the inside wasn't always perfect.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, with how inexperienced the line is. I mean, Jackson Barton, you know, has definitely had some playing time. Obviously, Uatafi's been a starter for quite some time. Lo Falamaka's had a little bit of experience. But it's definitely going to take some time for that line to gel together. But I think once they do, I think they're going to do a really, really good job for the youth. I think it's going to be a strong offensive line for him, especially with Coach Harding coaching these guys.
Yeah, what, I mean, last year when the first depth chart came out, you didn't have like Garrett Bowles on there and stuff, but they got him up to speed pretty quick. That SUU game, you could tell they weren't completely cohesive yet last year with all the kind of change at a couple different key positions. So this year, I imagine the first game will be a little bit of cleanup duty.
For sure. And Andy, you joined us, is that right?
I am here, yes. I apologize
all
for
right.
being late. Technical difficulties.
So we're just going over the offensive line, Andy. Any surprises for you as the depth chart came out today within regards to the starters?
No, not that I could really tell. You know, I mean, who they've got out there right now, I believe, is the best five that will help them win. And, you know, Witt always goes with, you know, the best players get on the field. So he'll find a way to get you on there. And I think he's done that with the starting five. And it's great to have low back Falamaka and manning that center position. So, yeah.
Right on. Well, moving on to the tight ends. I mean, tight ends a position that they're definitely going to get utilized in this offense. They're a little bit banged up right now. I mean, you have Harrison Hanley, who's a big target in the red zone. He's also, you know, definitely a good receiver. And then, you know, you have Siale, who's had a little bit of an injury bug over the past couple of seasons. But he's definitely back, definitely the best blocking tight end, also a good pass-catching tight end. Those guys are a little bit banged up. They are listed as co-starters on the depth chart. I don't know how much you'll see him versus North Dakota, but, you know, no surprises there, basically. I mean, they're both returning seniors.
Yeah,
and then,
that's not shocking.
And then looking at the quarterback position, I mean, going into the season, I mean, Tyler Huntley beat out Troy Williams. Going into the season, going into fall camp, definitely I thought, you know, Troy Williams was definitely going to be the starter this season. He's a senior. He's voted captain. You know, Whittingham likes guys starting who have that game time experience. But, you know, I was definitely surprised when Tyler Huntley got the nod over Williams. I thought it was definitely Williams. I thought Huntley would definitely have some packages installed for him. But, you know, definitely surprising, but I'm excited to see what Huntley can do in this office. What do you think, David?
There were times where I was watching the practice and a couple guys would get through, and we're not talking like slow guys. I mean, Bradley and I on one play, and Thompson both broke through the line and had him pretty much sandwiched in the middle of them. And it's touch for the quarterbacks in practice. And he got like a 20-yard gain. No one got a hand on it. Like some of the stuff he can do, not just with his arms, but with his legs, makes him valuable, especially while the offensive line's getting ready.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, Andy? Were you surprised Huntley got the nod?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, the ways of Whittingham has always been, you know, consistency and stability. And, you know, you go with the senior, you know, the guy that's been there longer, I guess. And to see the Huntley getting the nod was quite shocking for me. It kind of, for me, it was almost a breath of fresh air where it was like, okay, you know, we're doing this, you know, we're actually changing the offense. You know, we're not going with the norm. We're changing the quarterback. We're changing the scheme. Everything's changing. And so for me, it was excitement. You know, and this is not a knock on Troy because, you know, Troy played really well last year. And, you know, I mean, there are a few games that he obviously, you know, didn't play very well, but there are many that he won it for us, you know, beating the team back and keeping his composure. You know, he doesn't seem to get rattled. And I believe, I can't remember where it was, but one of the stats was something about where he had his best touchdown to interception ratio and completion percentage in crunch time, you know, in those clutch situations. And so to see Huntley, you know, essentially outplay Troy in the fall camp, and, you know, we as media members obviously can only watch, you know, the last 15, 20 minutes. And so we don't get to see what the coaches see all the time, you know, and obviously they try and hide that from us and not give us that inside route to who is going to be named the starter. But obviously the coaches saw that Huntley is the guy. And, you know, I don't think you can really rein him back now. You've got to kind of throw him out there and see what happens. You know, it's kind of the future, in my opinion. So
exactly. And, you know, he just brings to that quarterback position, he's going to bring just his sheer athleticism. It's going to be exciting to watch and see what he can do. And once he gets his feet wet, I'm sure he'll have some jitters, but once he gets his feet wet and, you know, gets knocked around a couple times, I think he's going to settle in and be a really good quarterback for the Utes. Joining him in the backfield at running back, your starter Zach Moss, backing him up is Jordan Howard. Kind of two similar backs, both, you know, not speedsters, but more, you know, they do have some speed, but they're more power backs. Obviously, Armand Shine is probably, I would say he's probably done for the season. I think he has a redshirt year. He'll probably use. It hurts to lose him. I thought he was going to be the kind of the main back there. But missing on that depth chart is Damani Henry Cole and Troy McCormick back at running back. I'm sure they're going to get a lot of playing time as backs out of the backfield. But what are you guys' thoughts on the running back position?
Kind of what I was thinking when I first saw that was, while this offensive line is building that continuity, you have your two best blocking running backs that you're going to rotate in and out to kind of help out that line. I'll be surprised if Devontae Henry Cole doesn't have probably better stats than at least Howard and maybe both of them by the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. You know, with, as fall camp progressed, even though, you know, before Shine went down, Whittingham had actually mentioned that Moss was gaining the upper hand. So Moss is an explosive guy. He reminds me a lot like Kelvin York in ways. where he doesn't mind the contact. He'll mow you right over, but he can also be a little shifty, and run away from you. So I'm excited for Zach Moss, Jordan Howard, senior, great to see him, getting the nod there as the second back. But, he had some good touches before he went down with an injury against Arizona. And, he played well there before we lost, five running backs. So it's nice to see him getting the opportunity here. So,
and I mean, running back's one of those positions at the U that, we've never really had to worry about. They always consistently produce, stellar running backs up there on the hill. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think Zach Moss is going to be any different. I like your comparison to Kelvin York. Those kind of power backs, Kelvin York, Quentin Ganther, those types of power backs they typically do well. I'm excited to see how Troy Taylor uses the running backs in the offense. And
that'll be the most interesting, last, forever, it seems like, doesn't matter what running back name you put back there, they seemingly have success. And so I don't think this year will be any different. But like you said, with, the new offense, what is the split going to be? Is it going to be a 50-50 pass run, 60-40? What is it going to be? I'm very intrigued by, all the options as far as just the speed and the athleticism in all skill positions. And I'm excited to see how Taylor uses them.
Exactly. And then, like we were discussing a little bit earlier, the Utes are going to have that four wide receiver set at the X receiver.
Yes.
You got the Oregon transfer, Darren Carrington. The E receiver is Samson Nakua. The Y receiver is going to be Raylon Singleton. And then the Z receiver is going to be COC Wilson. What are your thoughts on the receivers there, Andy?
I like it. I'm very excited. Like I just mentioned, a lot of speed and athleticism in the receiving core. I mean, you look at it, Carrington 6'3", Nakua 6'3", Singleton 6'3", COC Wilson 6'2". So a lot of high athleticism, players that can go up and get the ball, high point it and grab it, and make some plays. All of those guys can make plays. Carrington, obviously, as we know, last year with the tiptoe on the line in the end zone for the heartbreak loss against Oregon, he's obviously very aware of where he is on the field, placement, body, things like that. And Singleton, another guy, Nakua, the freshman has been making waves through fall camp, and even Damari Simpkins, who's listed as the backup E and the backup Z receivers. I mean, he's going to be making plays as well. I don't foresee the wide receivers really being an issue this year. Whereas years past, it's been like the one guy, and then everybody else is there. I think we've just got so many weapons at Troy Taylor's disposal that we're going to see several receivers have a lot of success, I think.
David, being at the practices that you were at, were there any younger or any receivers that aren't on the depth chart that might, get into that rotation and make some noise this season?
Brian Thompson is just huge in person. It doesn't really do it justice if you see the pictures and stuff. He is a big guy for a receiver. So is Hampton. And they were going up for contested balls. Those two were really fun to watch. I mean, obviously we saw them kind of more with the twos and threes. But I could see either one of them actually having an impact at some point in the year, too.
Awesome. Any word on, did you see anything from Alec Dana or anything up there? I know he was a big recruit, you know, a couple of seasons ago. I just haven't seen him on the field at all, really.
I saw him on the field a lot. I didn't see him get a lot of targets. I mean, mostly after practice, he was one of the last guys out there catching off the jugs machine. So, I mean, he's working on the craft. I just didn't get to see a lot of opportunities for him.
Awesome. Well, that's
yeah, he
kind of
disappeared.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, he just kind of disappeared. It's weird. I don't know where he's been either. I remember last year, the practices I went to, he was, like David said, practicing on the jugs machine, and that was all you ever heard. You know, I mean, obviously he was injured, but, you know, it's just kind of weird that there's been no mention of him.
Yeah, definitely. It's always interesting to, you know, the guys who you have high hopes for, and then they come to camp and you never see them or hear about them. But definitely one of those guys. Hopefully you can figure it out and get some play time.
For sure. I have a question for David real quick, since he was there at the practices. What did you see from Hampton, Tyquez Hampton? Any tidbits of info on us for us there?
He made a couple young mistakes, but he looks like just a complete package receiver. I mean, he ran well, he caught well, he, like I said, he went up, he wasn't afraid of contact, he went for contested balls, he was fighting hard. It was fun to watch.
Do you see him as, I mean, probably not, barring, knock on wood, injuries to receivers, do you see him, you know, obviously possibly redshirting this year and then, you know, coming in next year and making a play for starter minutes?
Absolutely. Again, him and Thompson are both kind of like that Carrington mold, but a little bigger, like thicker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, either of those two guys would be excited to see both, really.
Sweet. Yeah. Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised to see those guys, you know, get some playing time this season either with the way they performed in fall camp.
Well, yeah. And Taylor said he'd prefer eight game ready receiver, or at least eight game ready receivers. So, I mean, that they would probably be in that top eight if it were up to the last 10 minutes of practice every day.
For sure. Yeah. All right. Well, youth offense, let's move on to the defense. Really not a lot of surprises on the defense, except for maybe at the corner position, but let's go to the defensive ends. Obviously, at the right end, you're going to have Kylie Fitz backing him up, Max Dupuy. Left end, Bradley and I, backing him up is Caleb Rep. Bradley and I, Kylie Fitz, that's a great duo. I think Bradley and I is going to really benefit from, you know, all the double teams and triple teams that, you know, the defensive tackles and Kylie Fitz are going to demand, and Bradley and I think he's going to have a breakout season this year. What are you guys' thoughts on the defensive ends? Let's start with David first.
It's funny. Anai, I look at him on the depth chart, and I think they have him listed at like 240-something pounds. He looks bigger than that, and he was one of them that I noticed was constantly in the backfield. Like, he didn't always touch the quarterback, but he was disruptive, and I think part of that is trying to cover those bigger guys in the middle. But if you give him one-on-one matchups, he could have a really fun season to watch this year. Fitz is Fitz. I mean, he's a known commodity. You know what you're going to get with him, and what you're going to get from him when he's healthy is amazing.
What about you, Andy? What are your thoughts on those defensive ends?
Oh, man. Defensive ends, I mean, it's obviously exciting to have Fitz back. You know, great to see that he got the medical red shirt and – or medical, whatever you want to call it. my brain's fried today. Great to see him back, and you know, I think he's going to have a great season. And like David said, you know, command a lot of double teams or at least some extra attention. So you definitely could see that left side of the line, Bradley and I, and Moko Fisi kind of feast on the opposition.
Right on. Moving inside to the big fellas, obviously, you know, no surprises. You have Moko Fisi at the left tackle. You have Lotulelei at the right tackle. You know, two solid defensive tackles. You know, I don't know what more we could say about them than, you know, they're going to have a very good season, I think.
For sure. It'll be, Lowell, known commodity like Fitz is. I mean, it's hard to say that he's better than Star, but Star was pretty darn good. But Lowell is just a freaking massive human being, bowling ball in the middle there. And he's just so good at just bull rushing the offensive line. Moko Fisi, obviously a lot of experience there, and I think he'll have a good year. I'm interested to see Fotu Lucky. I'd like to, he's a big boy, so I'm hoping he gets a lot of reps in. It would be nice to see him in North Dakota, get his feet wet there.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the defensive line has always been a position group up at the U that just continually reloads year after year. You never have to worry about it being a strong suit on that defense. David, did you see any young guys along that defensive line or backups that, you know, could maybe, you know, get some playing time when Lowell and Filippo need a rest? I mean, I know you have Leki Fotu, Peter Tonga. I mean, you have John Penasini. Who else did you see, or was it just mainly those guys?
It was mainly those guys. It is hard not to see Fotu. I mean, you watch him, you're drawn to him. He's easy to spot in that line.
He is massive.
And the hair. He's got the long hair out the back, too, and he's just so big.
Right.
I mean, you can't not notice him while you're watching it. Oh, one other thing I was going to point out about Lotulelei, murdered that one. Sorry, guys. I watched a lot, like, I rewatched every game after I was actually at the games last year. I would rewatch the games, and something that I noticed when they show, like, that kind of camera shot down the line, Lowell's hand is like the center moves the ball, his hand is the first one off the line. For a big guy, he is so quick. Just an odd thing I noticed, yeah.
Yeah. And him and Star, I mean, those guys, their first move off the line is just so quick. Both of them, it must run in the family, or, you know, Star taught him it or whatnot. But,
yeah.
It's amazing for how big both they are.
Yeah.
he's quick. He's just, you know, very fundamentally sound, in my opinion.
All right, so moving on, back in core. Really no surprises there. You have, you know, Sania Tatioli, Bika Lupus. You know, Sania was a solid linebacker last season. Luafata Saga really came on towards the end of the season. I think he's going to be, you know, really good this year. Backing them up, you have Donovan Thompson, who I think is going to, you know, do his best to get on the field. And then, obviously, Cody Barton will get some playing time as well. You know, really no surprises there. What are you guys' thoughts on the linebackers? Do you think they're going to be a year improved this season, or do you think they're going to kind of stay stagnant?
I definitely think they're going to be a year improved. You know, Tatioli was fairly consistent, you know, in that linebacking core there. Like you mentioned, Luafata Saga definitely came on later on in the year, had a great bowl game against Indiana. You know, it just seemed every game he just got better and better and better and just more intelligent and just reading the plays and just everything. He just got better all around. So to have him have a full off season, a full training camp, you know, I think he's just going to be so much improved. I'm very excited to see him. And I'm surprised I didn't see Francis Bernard on there. I don't know.
He's coming.
Sorry. Go ahead, David.
He'll be here after the rivalry game.
Yeah, exactly.
I was curious with that situation, why they couldn't just do something like a court hush order, basically. Like, he's allowed to come to class and be here in school, but not legally allowed to talk to the coaches until after the game. Maybe something like that would satisfy both sides. But
right.
Yeah, that was
such
a weird,
weird situation.
Luafata Saga, as the year went on last year, it kind of seemed like he was thinking about where he's supposed to be less and getting there. Like, it seemed like it became more just instant reactive muscle memory than, ooh, I should be over there in 10 seconds and then start moving kind of situation. And it seemed both of them in practice this year seemed a lot more like instant reaction, which was fun to watch. I enjoyed watching the linebacker play. I think the biggest problem we have is after those four you named, I'm not sure that we have anybody.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's always definitely a thin position group. I don't know why, you know, it's always that way at linebacker. It just always seems like they only have like, you know, two or three or four guys that, and then there's nobody else behind them. So, you know, knock on wood, no injuries happen, but definitely, you know, I think they're going to be a year improved and definitely going to be better than last year.
Yeah,
moving
sure.
on.
I just pulled up the stats from the bowl game. In Luafata Saga, 12 total tackles, 10 solo, 2 for a loss. And then Tautioli, 10 total, 9 solo, 1 for a loss. And each had one pass defended. And so, I mean, really, those guys just played really well that game. They were seemingly everywhere, and so I think we're much improved with the linebacking core. It's just that depth position is going to be the issue. So
yeah,
I think.
Well, moving on to
the Colorado game, he was pretty good too.
Yeah, he was.
So moving on to the safety position, at free safety, you have Corian Ballard. It's interesting there's an or there with Philip Afia. I think that might be due to, you know, maybe Chase Hansen not playing against North Dakota or whatnot. But, you know, Corian Ballard's an exciting prospect. Philip Afia has made a lot of noise during fall camp. And then at strong safety, of course, you have Chase Hansen and then the JC transfer, Marquise Blair. What are you guys' thoughts on the safety positions? Do you think you know, Corian Ballard and Philip Afia are going to be able to fill those huge shoes left behind by Marcus Williams?
Yeah, Corian Ballard, I know this is going to sound mean because it's the home team, but in the spring game, he just absolutely annihilated one of our guys. And I kind of cheered and then went, oh, wait, that's our guy he hit. But I mean, he's been really fun to watch. I'd be surprised if he's not the starter. That guy is a can hit. He's good. Philip Afia had a lot of really good plays in the practices I saw, too. Like, he was always in the right position. He was where he needed to be. But Ballard's another one of those ones that it's hard not to notice him when he's in that backfield. He's bigger. Like, he's a big boy.
Definitely. Yeah, Corian Ballard. you know, obviously it's hard to fill the shoes of Marcus Williams and you know, but Ballard has the right body for it, the build, the tools are there to, you know, be an equivalent replacement. You know, it's just putting it all together at the Division I level instead of junior college. And, you know, the first couple of games might be a little shaky, but I think we'll probably see the same thing along the lines of Luafata Saga, where he'll just each game just continually get better and better. And even Marcus Williams, I mean, his first year, it was just like, what are we doing with him? You know, and every game better and better and better. And like David mentioned earlier, that he just wasn't thinking as much and just getting into the right places. It just was muscle memory. And I think we'll see, you know, pretty much along the same lines with Ballard. I think he'll probably project along that same route, and he could be a very, very good player and fill those shoes honorably left by Williams.
Yeah.
And then obviously Chase Hansen, you don't need to worry with him really besides injury. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's the leader of the secondary, and you know, he'll be his consistent self once he's back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we know what we're going to get with Chase Hansen, but you know, definitely it's good to have the depth there at the safety positions that they do have. You know, if Hansen wants to move up and play like a more hybrid, you know, linebacker position, if they need him to some games, so it's good to have this. The kind of depth that they have, and have guys stepping up like Philip Appiah and Marquise Blair and whatnot. But looking at the corner position, a bunch of new faces at the corner position, not a lot of experience, but definitely talented. Left corner, you got Casey Hughes, backing him up Kenrick Young. Right corner, Julian Blackman, backing him up Jalen Johnson. And then at nickelback, you got the man, Booby Hobbs, and backing him up is Terrell Burgess. What are you guys' thoughts on the corners? I definitely thought Jalen Johnson had one of those locked down. I thought it was going to be Johnson and Blackman, but, you know, Casey Hughes is a guy who's, you know, battled some injuries, but Coach Whittingham's always been high on him. Kendrick Young made the switch from receiver. He has a great instinct for the ball. What are you guys' thoughts on the corner and nickelback position?
I kind of thought the same thing you did. I really thought it'd be Blackman and Johnson with Hughes as a backup. That being said, there was a play, and I think it was Carrington he was covering in practice, where Hughes just tore both full speed on a deep route down the side of the field, and they were flying, and neither one of them got much separation from the other. I mean, Hughes is deceptively fast. Like, he doesn't look like a speed guy. He's a speed guy. He's quit. Jalen Johnson is another one I know I didn't look like that as a freshman in college. Like, that dude is jacked. And I was there when he did that interview, and they asked him if he had any goals for the season, and he goes, yeah, I want to be a starter on this team. I don't care. Basically said, I don't care if it's week one, week three, week 12. I'm going to be a starter on this team, and I want to be a freshman All-American. Pretty much stopped the interview at that point, because what else is he going to say at that point? But yeah, he's going to be fun for years to come for us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like you guys, I was shocked that Johnson didn't get the call, but you know, I think definitely as the season progresses, I think he's got to be in the mix, and maybe they just, you know, will interchange, you know, the three of them depending on how they're doing that game, you know, and maybe Hughes is having an off game and go ahead.
Kind of like they did last year, where they, you know, had, you know, Hatfield, Allen, and Porter, and they just kind of rotated them.
Exactly.
You're going to see a lot of that this season.
Yep, absolutely. Johnson is just too skilled not to be in the mix. I mean, he's barring anything drastic, you know, he very well could fulfill, you know, the goals he set, and fairly quickly. And like David said, I think he will be a very fun player to watch throughout the years.
Yeah, what are you guys' thoughts? Do you think Booby Hobbs is going to be able to fill Mr. Consistency Justin Thomas's shoes? Do you think Booby Hobbs is going to do a good job there?
Booby Hobbs, man. he doesn't scare me as much at nickelback as he does at punt returner. Justin Thomas was just, like you said, Mr. Consistency. Every game he just balled out and dwarfed the receivers. And so Booby Hobbs, I think, has the potential to come close. I think he'll be a serviceable nickel back, and Burgess isn't too bad either, you know. I'd like to see Burgess take over that role just because, or at least get more reps just because he's the younger player. I'd like to see him kind of build up the game experience, and, you know, as we go through these next couple of years, you know, he's the guy. But if Hobbs is being consistent, then there's no reason to move him out.
They both of those two come off, like, from what I've watched, as very high risk, high reward. They make some really good defensive plays, but it's one of those things where you look at it and go, if he didn't make that catch, that's a touchdown for the other team. Like, they both kind of scare me a little in that aspect, but they could end up making some highlight plays for us throughout the year.
I thought Burgess might overtake Hobbs at that position, but you know, I think Hobbs will do a good job. He's a high-energy guy. You know, he does definitely have some speed and some quickness to him. So, I'm going to be interested to see him. And like you said, nothing's more scary than Booby back there at punt returner. It's definitely causes fear every time you see him go back there. With that said, moving on to special teams real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on special teams. Obviously, you lose Andy Phillips as a kicker. So kind of shaky there at the kicking position. Mitch Wisnowski is going to handle kickoffs and punts. He's also the holder. The snapper's Alex Whittingham. What are you guys' thoughts on the kickers? Do you think anyone's going to step up and fill those shoes that Phillips left behind?
I think Johnson's probably got the best shot at it. I mean, he's just back from his mission. He doesn't have a lot of repetition under him yet. He seemed like when he missed by less when we were kind of watching stuff.
Yeah, it's a little scary that they haven't picked one yet. Maybe we won't need it as much this year. Seemingly the last couple of years, you know, we need a good field goal kicker, and we've been able to rely on Andy Phillips. Hopefully we don't need a kicker as much this year because we're scoring so many touchdowns, and, you know, maybe they'll just be like, let's just do the two-point conversion instead. And just avoid the whole kicking game until somebody can pull themselves ahead. But Chaden Johnson, I think, will get the nod. He was great out of high school. And like David mentioned, you know, fresh back from his mission, doesn't have a whole lot of reps yet. That repetition, that, you know, 2 years out and about walking, you know, I don't know how much time he had to practice his footwork or anything like that. So, I think it'll be him by the end of it, but we'll see.
All right, and then obviously at punt returner, you got Booby Hobbs. Kickoff returner, they have Kyle Folks, who, you know, speedster. Definitely a good kickoff returner. And then you have Julian Blackman, who was definitely a good kickoff returner in high school. Backing them up is you have Javelin Guidry, hopefully I said
Guidry,
that right.
Yeah.
Guidry, the speedster, track guy. I'd love to see Folks and Guidry back there together, but, you know, kickoff returner, the youths are always kind of interchanging guys anyway, but hopefully that's another strong position for them this season, get them some good field position. Are those two guys you like back there, or would you like to see anyone else back there?
I mean, for me personally, I'm all about the speed. You know, I think just put your fastest guys back there and let them make plays. Get the ball in their hands, let them make plays, and, you know, outrun their opponents to, you know, get some good field goal or field position and whatnot. So I'd like to see Folks and Guidry back there, but, you know, whatever Coach Witt wants.
Blackman, towards the end of the year last year, was, or as the announcer in the stadium kept calling him, Shine, they both had 23, but Blackman was back there towards the end of the year, and he's pretty quick too. But yeah, I mean, when we're playing Madden or playing the old college football game, none of us put our best possession receiver, you know, the best catcher back there to run kickoff returns back. It's whoever has the 99 speed rating. So, I mean, it's that's Guidry and Folt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see if, you know, Derek Vickers was supposed to come during fall. You know, don't know what happened with him, but didn't make it to the U, but he's one of those guys who was excited to see who could really help on special teams. Not sure if he's ever going to make it to the U, but I think they have, you know, Kyle Folks, Blackman, and Guidry. I think they're definitely going to be able to do a good job back there at kick returner. And then, yeah, so, I mean, depth chart came out today for the North Dakota game. We're kind of coming up against time here, but I just want to get your guys's, you know, I want to get your guys' season predictions, the record you think the Utes are going to have at the end of the season, and then just give me one breakout player on offense and one breakout player on defense. Let's start with David.
I'm going with a 9-win season for us. I mean, I think we'll win one of the two that we're not supposed to win, really, the USC or the Washington, and lose the other one. And then November just still scares me, even with the new offensive coordinator. Games like Washington State or something like that where we should win and don't. Like, until we stop doing it, I can't say I don't think it'll happen. As far as the breakout players go, I think Devontae Run DHC. I think Devontae Henry Cole is going to catch a lot of balls and get some rushing yards out of that. On defense, it's not really going out on a limb here, but I think Jalen Johnson's going to be really, really good by the end of this year.
What do you think?
What was that?
For me, go ahead, Patrick.
Oh no, I was just saying. What about you, Andy? What is your season prediction and then breakout players?
Yeah, so season prediction. I'm going to go along the same lines as David. I you know, don't want to seem like I keep agreeing, but, you know, all good points on for him there. You know, Utah always seemingly beats a team that they shouldn't and then loses to a team that they shouldn't. You know, and that Stanford game is going to be tough. USC is going to be tough. Washington, you know, and even – you know, Washington State, you know, could creep up on us in November there. So I think a 9-3, maybe 10-2, depending on how the offense really settles in, catches fire with that. As far as breakout players, I think I'm going to have to go with the quarterback, Huntley. You know, new system, new quarterback. I think that, you know, he's got the playmaking ability in the mold of, you know, a Marcus Mariota-esque type. You know, I think he's going to make some plays. I think he's going to extend a lot of plays. But, you know, he very well could lose us games because of his inexperience. But I think he's going to be surprisingly good or better than what people are expecting. You know, I know a lot of people wanted that consistency with Troy Williams, but I like the risk here. And then I'm going to follow David's footsteps here with Jalen Johnson. I'm pretty high on him. I think he's going to definitely push out one of the two guys for the starting corner and then possibly be that freshman All-American.
Awesome. Well, I think there's going to be some growing pains this season. I'm excited to see, you know, this Troy Taylor offense. I'm going to go with 8-4 or 9-3. I mean, either one of those is, I mean, an excellent season for such a young team.
For sure.
My breakout player, I'm going to go with some big fellas. I think Darren Paulo is going to establish himself as an awesome offensive lineman for the Utes. Really kind of make a name for himself this season. And then at left end, I'm going to go with Bradley Anae. I think he's going to have a special season. I think he's going to break out this season and just get to the quarterback a lot, really benefit from those other three offensive linemen getting all the attention. But I'm going to say 8-4 or 9-3. Either one of those is a good season for the Utes. First game this Thursday, August 31st at 5:30 p.m. up at Rice-Eccles, Utes versus North Dakota Fighting Hawks. You know, North Dakota comes in as they're a good team. They're in the Big Sky Conference. You know, they made the playoffs last year.
They're ranked number 8 in the preseason poll for the FCS, I believe.
Yeah, I believe they're ranked number 8 in the FCS. They made the playoffs last year. You know, they're going to be a one of those hard-nosed, you know, team with, you know, some really tough guys. I don't think, you know, they're definitely not as talented as the Utes. I don't think they give the Utes a lot of problems, but definitely not a team you want to overlook. What are you guys' thoughts on the North Dakota matchup?
When I look through their depth chart, their offensive line is huge. Like, they have 6'7", 15. Their smallest guy was like 6'2 and 290. Like, I was not expecting to see that. But their defense was every bit as small as their offense was big. Their nose tackle, 290. Their average size for their linebackers, about 205. And they run a 3-4, so you normally have a little bigger linebackers in a 3-4 style system. It was kind of weird. It seems like they're huge on offense and small on defense.
Yeah,
that is very true, looking at their depth chart. I didn't get a chance to look at it earlier, so I've been looking at it the last little bit here. But, yeah, very undersized defensively, which, you know, Utah should be able to pick them apart. You know, and then just our talent on defense, you know, should be able to get through there. Offense, no problem. I don't foresee it being an issue.
Yep, well, gentlemen, football season is upon us, so I'm very excited. It's going to be a good season. We'll continue to do this on Monday nights. Have different guests on. We appreciate David coming on, being a special guest. David writes for Torn by Sports. Go ahead and plug your Twitter handle, David.
It's at Skier Elmo.
Give at Skier Elmo a follow. He's definitely a great writer for Torn by Sports, covering Utah Utes football, providing some good insight for us today. Of course, you can follow us at Utah Podcast. But I appreciate you guys taking some time out from your night tonight, and I look forward to speaking some more during the season. And I hope you guys have a great game day here on Thursday, and
definitely look forward to talking to you next Monday.
All right.
Of course.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you, David, for coming on, and I apologize for being late. And don't forget the cannon call, everybody. 30 minutes. cannon call, 30 minutes before. Get to your seats.
Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a great night. Right.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to U Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Network. Find us on Twitter at U Talk Podcast or email at utalk@gmail.com.